Have you ever found yourself in a bad season of life or a bad set of circumstances, and you can trace it back to a piece of bad advice that you got and that you followed? Think about it for a minute. I remember one time when I was in college, I hung out with some guys that were from the north, North Dakota, and we were walking back to our dorm. And our dorms in college, there was the girls' dorm, and there was the guys' dorm, and then there was this ginormous flagpole in the middle between. It was just huge. You could see it from pretty much anywhere in campus. And so we were walking past it, and one of my buddies said, "Hey, you know, Mike, have you ever seen that movie, A Christmas Story?" And I said, "Yeah, I've seen that movie like, you know, a million times. You know, it gets played like over and over and over again at Christmas." He's like, "You remember that scene where the kid, he sticks his tongue on the flagpole and it gets stuck?" I said, "Oh yeah, everybody remembers that." He goes, "You know, that's not really true. That's not, that can't happen. That's just movie magic. That was just a movie trick. I mean, that's not real." And I said, "Yes, it is. It works." He goes, "No, it isn't." I said, "I'm telling you, it's not a real thing." And he goes, "Watch." And he goes over and he sticks his tongue on the flagpole and he takes it off. And I'm like, "Oh, hey, it is. It's just a movie trick." He's like, yeah. "See, it's just a movie trick. Now you try." So I walk over to the flagpole and I stick my tongue out and I put it on the flagpole. And it doesn't come off. And I stay there, and I'm attached to the flagpole by a huge portion of my tongue. And out of the corner of my eye, I see all my friends giggling and laughing and walking back to the dorm. And I'm like, "Wait a minute." Now, number one, it was already like 11:30 at night, okay? So I'm thinking, okay, it is dark, all right? There are skunks on our campus, all right? I'm thinking of all the dangers, all the things that are going on. I'm thinking, I could be stuck here all night. I'm thinking, does this thing just get more stuck as time goes on? Do I need to think of something fast and MacGyver something together? But then the closing factor that really got me scared is I thought, wait a minute, I am right outside the girls' dorm. If a girl finds me like this, this is it. My rep is over. And so I panicked, and I didn't know what to do, and so I just, 1, 2, 3, bah, ripped my tongue off of the flagpole. Blood out of my tongue. I ran back into the dorm, and there are my buddies with a glass of water. And they're like, "Dude, we were coming to get you." And I'm like, "What's happening there?" And I got blood running out of my tongue. My tongue was black for 2 weeks, just scabbed over. I still can't taste some things, all right? If people are like, "Taste this," I'm like, "I'm dead there," right? I kid you not, this is not an exaggeration. For an entire semester, there was a pink patch attached to that flagpole. When winter was over and spring came, I thought it would melt away or fall. But no, a pink patch of skin stayed to that flagpole. And forever there is a mystery of where that came from. People would take pictures with it. It was an attraction. And I kept it to myself. Now you know. But that was a piece of bad advice, right? Bad advice that I listened to. Bad choices that I made because of that advice. Now, I want you to think to your life, has there ever been a time where you have listened to bad advice and you have made bad choices and you've paid for those bad choices? There's probably a time in your life where you think, "Man, if I had a time machine, what I would do is I would go back and I would go and I would grab my former self and I would shake them and I would tell them, don't listen, don't be friends with them. Don't go to the party. Don't go on the trip. Don't do what they tell you they're going to do. Don't listen to their promises. They are all lies. That is what they are. They're lies. Because, man, if you could change that moment, or if you could have changed following that bad advice, it would have saved you a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of heartache. But here's the thing. We can't do that, right? We can't go back in time. We can't change what's happened to us. But here's the thing we can do. We can, from this point forward, start learning how to avoid bad advice so that we can avoid bad choices. What we can do is we can look at the next generation. We can look at our teenagers. We can look at our kids. And we can say, you know what? I wish somebody had told me this. Or I wish somebody had told me to avoid this piece of bad advice or not listen to what people said or what the norm said. And so you know what? While we can't change our past, we can set them up for a terrific future. And we can say, look, here's what you need to do. Here's the bad advice that I listened to. Do not do the same. That bad news has messed us up, and we don't want it to continue to do it any longer. So that's what we're going to be talking about this series. We're going to be talking about bad advice. And we're going to talk about how to avoid bad advice. But the other part is that I'm going to actually give you some bad advice, hoping that you do the exact opposite. Because it seems to me like sometimes we are actually attracted to bad advice. And that we listen to bad advice better than we do good advice. So I'm just going to change up my tactic. You know, after 5 years of ministry, I'm just going to go the other direction with it, all right? Hoping that you recognize how stupid I sound and do the exact opposite. So this morning, we're going to talk about our relationship with God. But before we get into it too much, I want to set this up kind of with a question. And I want you to be honest, okay? I want you to be very, very honest. And I want you to think about it, okay? And the question is this. It's going to be up on the screen. Have you ever been closer to God at one point than you are today? I want you to think back over your life, okay? Think about the time that you've been a Christian or you've known God or anything like that, and maybe you've never even had a relationship with God. But think about, has there ever been a time in your life where you were actually closer to God than this point right now? Think about it for a sec. Maybe it was years ago. Maybe it was months ago when you were actually closer to God than you were right now. Maybe there was a time in your life where you read the Bible. And you were passionate about reading the Bible. You were passionate about studying the Word of God. And you were like, man, when I read this, it's just like the words jump off the page, you know? Like, man, when I read this, it's just so practical. It speaks right to where I'm at. And it helps me and it teaches me. It's taught me so many life lessons. And I get just so excited about being able to get in the Word and get with other people and to learn about it. But now, not so much. Now, it's not a part of your routine. It's not something that you passionately do. I mean, if you flip open the Bible, you're like, oh, I've read that one, that one. I think I understand most of it. Or you know what? I'm kind of tired of the life lessons. And so you're not as passionate about reading the Word of God as you are now. Or let's talk about it in terms of worship and going to church. Was there ever a time in your life where you were so excited to go to church? Like when you found this church, or when this church started 5 years ago, you're like, yes, Anchored Hope is meeting this morning. That means we get to go, and I'm going to get there early. There's going to be donuts and coffee. Oh, man, Martha's going to have a big old hug for me, and I'm going to go find her, and I'm going to talk to people, and I'm going to hang out. You know what? I'm going to help serve, and I'm going to get there early because I want to be a part of this thing. This is so cool. This is like a family, and I'm going to get there, and you were expectant that God was going to speak to you today. Like if we're in the middle of a series, you're like, I got to be there because part one was last week, and I don't want to miss part two, and I want to be in this, and I want to learn, and I just think God is just going to speak so many awesome, incredible things to our life and our family, and we're going to be better for it, and it's going to be great. But maybe now, maybe even this morning, you kind of, the alarm went off, and you're kind of like, well, another Sunday. Jeez, we got to set up again. Oh, man, really? Oh, all right, we're going to go in that, you know, auditorium, sometimes hot, sometimes cold. You never know, you know. Man, we'll go to church, you know, and we'll sit there, and it's the songs, you know. Well, you know, we sing every week. It's always the same thing. Three songs, prayer, service. Pastor tells a couple jokes. Might catch my attention for a little bit. But, you know, you kind of check out when you get here. You kind of get, you know, distracted a little bit, or you think about something else you need to be. And right now, it's not as often that you want to come to church. Like it's way easier for you to go out of town or just to miss it than it was maybe a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a couple years ago, right? Or maybe let's think about it in terms of prayer. Has your prayer life changed? That you used to pray so boldly, just so full of faith, just believing that, man, when I pray, things are going to happen. God is going to answer, and God is going to come through, and God is going to be listening to me, and He hears my cries, and He hears my prayers, and I believe that prayer works, and I want to do it often because I want to spend time with my God, and I want to talk to Him, and I want to grow closer with Him, and I want to hear from Him. But now, like, it's very, 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 very sporadic when you pray. right? Like, you only pray when, like, you're stuck or when bad things happen or when you need to get out of a jam. Maybe even, you know, more often take the Lord's name in vain, and, you know, your prayers are more like when you're stuck in traffic and you're like, oh, God. When do you talk to God? Has that changed? Has when you talk to God or how you communicate to God, was it more passionate, more on fire, more focused, more clear in the past than it is today? I'll talk to a small group of people in this room who were with us when we started this church, right? You know, 5 years ago, we started this church, and we used to meet at the hotel on 47 in their breakfast area. The kids would go swim, and we would meet in there every 2 weeks on a Sunday night to talk about what this was going to look like and talk about the importance of this. And we would pray for people, and we would invite people, and we would talk about all the incredible things we were going to do. And then when we launched out of here in the spring, man, we were on fire, and we were particular, and we were like, every week we need to expect guests, and we need to expect new people, and everything's got to be perfect. The floor needs to be cleaned up. The tubs need to all be put away. The curtain needs to be straight. The songs need to be practiced and planned out, and everything needs to be perfect because we're going to have guests, and God is going to do incredible things today. But some of us in that group, it's been 5 years, right? So it's not that uncommon to see that maybe we don't have the same fire in our stomach. Maybe a lot of times we go, you know what, who cares if the cafe curtain is straight today? It's not that big a deal. I don't, you know, maybe one new person, but maybe not even any new people is going to be on. Well, it doesn't matter if I have my name tag on today. It doesn't matter. It's not that big a deal. Or, you know what, there's enough people here. Like when we started and there were like 12 of us and like 30 of us, like I got it. But there's enough. Somebody else can do it. So this will be somebody else's thing. I've done my part. Let me ask the people who have been with me for 5 years, has any fire in your gut been extinguished? Is your passion, is your expectancy the same as it was 5 years ago? Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think honestly about that. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are right now? Now, I'm going to ask you to do a scary thing. This is going to be you being totally honest and trusting everybody in this room. If you feel like you were closer to God at another point in your life, I want you to raise your hand. There's been a time when you were closer to God than you are right now. I want you to raise your hand. That takes honesty. That takes guts. You guys can lower your hands down. Now, let me ask you, what happened? You're probably, after you thought about it right now, going, I don't even know. I don't know how it happened. But when you say that, you're right. Things have changed. My heart has changed. My passion has changed. The fire in my gut has changed. I don't feel as close to God as I used to be. What happened? I heard an illustration this week that I think kind of spoke volumes. There was a husband and a wife, a couple, young couple. They were married. One of their favorite things to do was on a Friday night go out and drive the truck around. They had one of those trucks where it was one straight bench, and the wife would always scoot over next to the husband. The husband would put his arm around his wife, cuddled up next to his sweetheart, and they would drive around in the truck, cuddled up next to each other. 20 years later, the wife has scooted over to the other side next to the passenger window. And she looks at her husband and she says, you know what, I just don't feel like we're as close anymore. You used to be so close to me. You used to ride with me in this truck and you used to have me on your arm and you used to hold me so tight. What happened? And the husband looks at his wife and he says, I haven't moved. Might I suggest for a moment that it's not God who's changed, it's you. Might I suggest for a moment that it's not God's expectation or urgency that's changed, but maybe it's been yours. Might I suggest that the Word of God, the living Word of God that is always changing and always speaking to our current circumstances, is not the thing that's changed or become more dull. Maybe it's become your lack of searching and showing up to find it that's actually changed. Might I suggest that it's not our vision or our mission for our church or what we're doing? I would actually say it's evolved and become even more sharp. But might I suggest that maybe it's been your lack of purpose and passion that might have changed over time. You know, I want to show you guys a scripture verse that kind of speaks to this, because I think the question in our mind is, well, how did that happen? How did I drift away? How did I so slowly go from being underneath the arm of God and so close and feeling so in love with Him to all of a sudden, without only a moment's warning, being on the other side of the truck, feeling at an arm's length from Him? Because before you even said this, I hadn't even really totally realized it, but it has. It's been a gradual thing, but it has happened. How did that happen? How did we drift away from God? Well, I think there's a parable in the Bible that speaks volumes to what might have happened for some of us. There's a parable in the book of Matthew, and Matthew's gospel explains it pretty well. Matthew recorded this illustration that Jesus shared, and I'm going to summarize it for you, and then we're going to talk about the end and talk about the practical part of what Jesus was trying to tell us. Jesus gives this illustration, the story of the parable of the sower. A sower is someone who went out with a bag of seed and threw out the seed, hoping that it would take hold in the ground and create a harvest, right? So he's talking about this sower. He's got this bag of seed, and he's going out into the field, and he's throwing it out. And he says, this sower, he threw seed on four different types of ground. They're going to be up on the screen. The first one fell along a path, like a rocky, hard, kind of like concrete path. And then some fell in rocky places, so there was soil, but there were a lot of pebbles and a lot of rocks. Some fell among the thorns, and then some fell upon good soil. And Jesus said that this seed that fell upon good soil, it brought 30, 60, even 100-fold of a harvest. And then Jesus kind of turns it around on them and leaves the illustration and makes it practical for them. And he essentially says to everybody who's listening to this, he says, all of you are one of these four kinds of ground. You're one of these four. And I want you to think about, which one are you? And then it gets very practical, and Jesus starts to talk about what it means along each of these different paths. And in Matthew 13:19, he says this. In Matthew 13:19, he says, that seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. And then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. This will be some of you today. The word of God, the word shared, it will go in one ear and it will go out the other. You will walk out of here probably totally distracted, not changed. You know, you came to church, and that's good, but you're not really here, right? Like, there's probably something more interesting on your phone, or maybe you need to catch up on your nap. You know, it's just warm enough that, you know, you could doze off for a minute, you know, taking notes or anything like that. That's not really your jam, and you'll leave, and maybe your spouse or somebody will turn to you and go, that was a really good message. What did you think about it? Yeah, it was good. And then that'll be it. And that's some of us. The ground is hard, and it doesn't matter how funny I am or how practical I am or how loud I yell. There is nothing that's going to break through, because your heart and your mind is hard as a rock, and you walked in that way. And so it's just going to fall on very, very, very hard ground. And then he goes on in Matthew 13, verse 20, he talks about the next kind of ground. He said, the seed on the rocky soil, it represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. This is, again, some of us at this church. You will come today for the first time, or some of you came months ago or years ago for the first time, and you loved it here. You're like, wow, God really spoke to me today. I felt like that message was for me. I love this place. So friendly, so welcoming, so inviting. I really feel the presence of God. And you'll go, I want this. This is what we need in our life. I like this. I want a relationship with God. And so you will jump in and you will come probably consistently for, I give it 2 months. And you'll love this place. You'll maybe even get on the serve schedule. Maybe you'll even become a member of the church. Maybe you'll even get baptized. But then life will hit you with something. The troubles of life will come, and you will retreat back. Something will hit you, and you'll wake up one day, and you'll not want to go to church. you want to stay home, to sleep, to spend time with your family, to go to the zoo, to just piddle around on your phone, whatever it may be. But you won't feel like coming here. And you won't feel like reading your Bible. And you won't feel like praying about it. You'll just kind of curl up into a ball because the worries of life have kind of taken over. Or maybe you'll be persecuted, you know? Maybe what'll happen is somebody will pick up that you're starting to change a little bit. And they'll say, hey, man, so what's going on with you? You're not drinking. You're too good to hang out with us anymore. Like you're not laughing at the same jokes. You seem like you're changed. You're getting to be too good for us. And you'll go, oh no, that's not it, man. No, I'm still the same old me. Let me prove it to you. And so you won't let go of that old life. You'll still hang on to those old habits and those old friends and that old life because those are such good, dear people to you. And so you'll hang on to them. And so you'll slowly start to slip away, and that seed will not have time to actually evolve and grow into a harvest. Or maybe you'll be like the next. The next that he talks about, it says it fell among the thorns and represented those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and lure of wealth, and no fruit is produced. That'll be some people in this room too. Some of us will be so passionate about God, but then the worries of life will push God away. What will happen is we'll become preoccupied. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Again, you're not bad people. None of these are bad people. But some of you can think back to a time in college or when you were young or when you were first married. And you and your spouse, you would do your devotions together, and you would pray together, and you would go to Bible studies and learning environments together, and you would go to church together, and it was just so much easier. And then you had a kid, right? And that kid started to kind of throw a wrench in your cycle and what you would do, and then you're like, man, oh, I've had such a long day, I don't feel like reading my Bible. I just want to sit down and watch Netflix, you know, or I'm just trying to find time to keep up. And you went from being a renter to an owner of a home, and you're like, I got to take care of this house now, and I got bills to pay, and I got to work a little more, and I've got to get a little bit deeper into my career. And then you had two kids, right? And then you're like, oh my goodness, now I got two kids, and now I'm trying to juggle this. And then you had three, and then they started to have t-ball, and then they started to have gymnastics, and then they started to do all this crazy stuff. And you're like, you know what, I would love to have time, God, you know what, but I just don't. So you know what, I'm going to need a break from the serve schedule because I've just got other priorities right now and other things that I'm going to talk about. I've been here long enough, so I'm going to take a break. Or you know what, I'm just so overburdened right now. I think the best thing is just if I just spend a little bit more time at home and a little bit less time here, even though it's an hour out of my day, still, you know, so I got other things I need to talk about because I'm just preoccupied with life. And so I need to take care of this other stuff right now. And what will happen is just as the roots are starting to go down and take effect, they will be cut off. And the roots won't be able to grow. What will happen is we will not give the word of God and a relationship with God time to mature. And what happens in life is like a roller coaster where we have good days and we have bad days. Because nothing's really consistent. Because the roots have not gone down. And then Jesus, he talks about the good soil. He says in verse 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as we planted. Verse 23 says, then the seed that fell on good soil, it takes effect. That seed falls on good soil, and I would say that is a lot of you here today. That a lot of you here today came expecting God to speak to your life. That today when Pastor Josh prayed, you were honestly and earnestly saying, God, seriously, transform my life. Speak to me. You know where I'm at. You know what I'm going through. I need you. And I am seriously inviting your spirit into my life. Jesus says the people who do that, that they're going to take this and receive it, who are going to go this week and make this practical and put this to work tomorrow morning when they go to school or when they go to work or when they do whatever they're going to do, those are the people whose roots are going to grow down. They're going to mature. Those are the people who are going to get to the point where they are lacking nothing, where they are able to handle life, where they are able to make an impact on the community, where they're in a better position to be closer to Jesus and make this world a better place to live. Those people are going to bring the kingdom to light. And those people God has great plans in store for, because they're ready to participate and they're willing and they are sharpened. And they're just going to continue to grow and grow and grow and become the people that God created them to be. When the word falls on good soil, awesome things happen. And he says that it produces almost 100-fold. Now, you got to understand, in the context of this verse, when the people heard this, everybody planted seed. Everybody grew some sort of crop, or at least familiar with it. Most crops at that time, they would grow only 8 to 10-fold, okay? So when Jesus says, this seed that falls on good soil, it produces 30, 60, sometimes 100-fold. These people are going, no. That doesn't happen in this world. We've only seen 8 to 10-fold ever out of a good seed. And Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, this is how incredible God is. This is what God can do in your life. He can do things that you've never seen before. He can do things that you could never do on your own. And he can produce things in your life that are 30 to 60 to 100 times greater than what you could ever do. That's what happens when you come to the Word with good soil. And people's minds were like, wow, I want to follow that kind of God. That's the kind of God I want to see. But here's the thing. Everybody in this room almost has admitted that at one time or another, you've drifted away from God. That you were closer to God in the past than you were now. So what is it that we need to do? Hebrews 2:1 gives us a great piece of advice. He says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Here's the thing. Here's what has happened, is that we started off with good soil. That time when you were closest to God, there was good soil there. But then the worries of life began to preoccupy you, and you began to slowly scoot away on the bench. Or you know what? There was rocky soil there that you didn't let go of your old life, and you stayed a little preoccupied, and your friends played a little part of it and kind of tempted you back. And so you kind of tried to hold on to both sides of life. And you know what? You haven't completely dived in. And so here you are, kind of teeter-tottering, going up and down in life. And then some of you, let's just be honest, and you already know who you are. You just have a hard heart. That you're just kind of here, but you're not here. And you came in that way, and you made up your mind before you even walked in the door how you were going to walk out. And nobody can change that but you and God. So what is it that we need to do to ensure that we don't drift away from God? Well, here's what I'm going to do for the rest of the service real quickly. I'm going to give you some bad advice. And I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do to drift away from God. And I want you to hear the stupidity in this and understand it and do the opposite of it. But also too, I don't know. You know, if you think back to that first time you came to church here, that time when you had good soil and you felt close to God, I don't know. I think for most of you, you probably missed that feeling. You probably even liked it. You liked feeling the presence of God in your life. So here's the thing. I'm going to give you some bad advice. So that if one day you wake up and you're like, man, I hate being full of joy. I just hate this. This is terrible. I hate walking out of church on Sunday mornings feeling more prepared for life and better and being closer to Jesus and having a better understanding of life and my purpose here on this earth. If you ever get to that point and you're like, I am just sick of this. I don't want to be happy. I want to go back to being depressed and anxious and worried about everything that I see on the news. If that's you, well, then here you go. I'm going to give you everything you need to do, okay? So here we go. Here's some bad advice. The first thing you need to do to make sure that you drift away from God is you need to neglect your time with God, okay? Neglect your time with God. Psalm 63:1, David says this. He says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Okay, here's the thing. Don't do that, okay? Do not search for God. Don't go after him. Don't thirst for him. Don't passionately want him or want to be with him. And for sure, don't read your Bible, okay? do not read your Bible, because that Bible is going to give you tips on how to handle life and how to be closer to God. And so if you want to drift away from God, stay away from the Word of God. Or if you really want to just be able to say that you read your Bible, here's the thing. Don't study the Word of God. Just like read a paragraph, but just read it. You know what I mean? Like totally out of context. Just speed through it really, really fast. If you've got your, you know, a kid's children's Bible, just look at the pictures, okay? And just go through it really, really, really fast. And then when you come to church, if you come to church at all, okay, I would suggest probably not coming every week. I would probably do what most Americans do and come like once a month, okay? That's just enough to like dip your toe in, but still keep a very, very good distance away from God. So like once a month at most. Everybody clear about that, all right? And definitely don't invite a friend, because we don't need them catching this thing and falling in love with God and like encouraging us to come and like, you know, changing their lives. Keep them over there in their context and their, you know, stuff and their zone, and we'll stay over here in ours. So once a month, come to church at max. We all clear on that? We're good? Now, if you do come, and when you come, a couple very specific things I want you to do. Walk in late or like right when like the first song is going on, okay? So we start pretty well at like 10:01-ish, okay? So walk in like right then, so you only have two more songs to get through, okay? And then when you get in here and we do start worship, don't like think or pay attention to the words on the screen, okay? Pick something shiny up here and just stare at it for a while, okay? Like Danny's a really entertaining drummer, okay? I could watch Danny all day every day, all right? So just like watch Danny play drums, or think about like how good Josh's hair looks and think like, man, Josh's hair is like, how? Every time. It's like it doesn't move. All right? Just like think about that type of stuff. All right? Don't think about the words or what they mean or anything like that. And here's the thing. I want you to be very, very specific about this. Do not clap. Don't clap. If you clap, it may become contagious. And other people may clap. And then we might actually start to have a good time. Okay? Here is the proper form for worship if you really want to neglect God. Okay, you guys get this, right? Stone cold face, not having a good time, hands in the pocket to ensure that the clap does not break out. Actually, I shouldn't even be swaying right now. I'm enjoying myself too much, just moving my hips. So lock it down, squeeze the cheeks together, and make a stable position. Got it? Clear? Good. We're awesome. And then during the sermon, I've already given you a YouVersion app to get out. I don't know if you're actually on it. Get on Facebook. Nobody's gonna know, okay? So get on Facebook, laugh at a meme, show it to your friend to distract them in the middle of service too, and we're gonna be all good, okay? Neglect your time with God. Good? All right, so moving on. Here's the second thing I want to make sure you do. Hang around the wrong people, okay? Hang around the wrong people. This is a good one, okay? Why? Because it's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends, okay? It's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. So we want to be outside God's will and keep people around who encourage that, all right? So Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, he said this, he said, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." Okay, so that's what we want, all right? Here's the kind of friends I want you to seek out. Friends that don't judge you. All right? Friends that actually agree with you when you're wrong, okay? So I'm talking about friends who are like, girl, ain't nobody perfect, right? You be you, and you just do you, all right? And you know what? It's cool. Everybody has their thing. You just keep doing it, and you tell him to, you know, do off or whatever. And, just have those friends around that just, like, encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Like, if you're going through a divorce, man, get as many people around you who are like, get him, burn him, take everything from him, and take the kids, and don't let them ever see him again. You know what I mean? Those are the kind of friends you want. You want the kind of friends that, like, if you get stuck in a situation, they'll take you in, and they will protect you, and they'll even tell the other person off for you, right? You need the kind of friends who encourage you to go out and do things and don't think about the consequences, who just tell you that, hey, you know, you only live once, So live once. And so those are the kind of friends that we want. Because here's the thing, man, Christians, Christians, they care about like the bigger picture. You know what I mean? Like they care about you like 10 years down the line, you know, 20 years down the line, eternity, if that's even real, right? And so we want friends who just like live in the moment, man. You know, you're young, live free. You can only, you know, go and do these things once. And so those are the kind of friends we want. Not friends who like really, really love us. Like friends who just like, you know, they're disposable, they're interchangeable. You know, if we get mad at each other, like, I'll just get a new one, right? Those type of friends, right? So those are the kind of friends that we want. Hang around the wrong type of people, okay? And then the last thing is this, and this one's really, really important. Give into temptation, okay? Give into it. James 1, the brother of Jesus, he said this. He says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Okay, so look, here's the thing. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's got their thing, okay? Everybody has got their stuff, and so it's okay for you to have your thing too. These expectations in the Bible are redonkulous, okay? Nobody can do that except for Jesus, and we already know that. So just give in to him, okay? Have fun. Right? YOLO. And here's the thing. I'm going to teach you a little trick, okay? If your pastor asks, tell him I gave you this one, okay? Here's a little clause in the whole thing. God forgives you every time. Oh, I know, right? So here's the thing. If you sin and you mess up, just ask for forgiveness and then go do it again and then ask for forgiveness and then go do it again, and you're clear, because the Bible says that, like, every time he forgives, he, like, just forgets about it or something like that, right? So here's the thing. God is always going to take you back, so use that against him, okay? Yeah, he's all loving and graceful and merciful. That's his own fault. He should have been a little different, right? So let's use that against him. Let's do whatever we want, act however we want, give in to our temptations, and we'll say, oh, I'm sorry, and he'll take us back, love us, act like it never happened, and then we can go do it a million more times, and it didn't even matter. It's not even a big deal, right? So it's perfect. Now, here's the thing, too. If you get caught, now do your best to hide it, okay? Always delete your search history, okay? Keep those things, you know, tucked away, private. Don't let anybody know about them. So keep those things private. But here's the thing. If you get caught, here's what I want you to do. Rationalize, okay? Rationalize it. If you get caught lusting after another person, convince them that it's their fault that you lusted, okay? Like, look at your spouse and be like, well, you're the one who's not giving it up to me, so boom, mic drop. You know, it's really your fault that I lusted because you didn't do your job. So really, the better question should be, what's your problem, you know? So do like that kind of stuff. Or like if they call you out on something like the credit card bill or the debt or something, like you just explain to him that you deserve nice things too. Or you work hard. And this is your money, okay? This is your money, and you can spend it the way that you want. You explain it to them and help them understand why you can do whatever you want, okay? And just give into it. And just, you know, feel good, give into it. It's all going to be okay. Nothing bad is going to happen. Most of the time it doesn't. It's just, it's cool. And so just give in to that temptation. And if all else fails, here's the big major thing. If you want to get farther away from God, here's the greatest, easiest tip you can remember. Fake it. Just fake it. Isaiah 29:13 says, Lord said, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. So what he's saying there is there's, you know, people who, you know, they talk a good game, but really their hearts are away from them. Well, just be one of those people that talk a good game. Here's the thing. Just focus on being a good person. Don't break the law. Don't get caught. Come in here. It's an hour out of your day. Walk in a little late. Be on your phone. Nap. Whatever. Walk out, and you're good, and they'll call you a Christian. And this inclusive church that we have here, nobody's really going to call you out on your business or, you know, really ask if this is a real thing to you. You can become a member. You can serve. We'll let you teach our kids, you know. It's not a big deal. You can just fake it and do whatever you want all the other, you know, 6.5 days of the week, and it's going to be fine. It's not like you're a terrorist or anything, right? I mean, the things that you're doing aren't gonna, they shouldn't earn you a spot in hell. Those are, that hell's only reserved for the worst of the worst, right? Something like that. I don't know. But it's okay. You just do what you feel like you need to do and fake it, and you will get away with it, and no one will ever question you. Now, that was some pretty bad advice, right? Now, here's the thing. If there is any part of you that feels a little guilty right now, which it's a little quiet in the room, you stopped laughing at it by the end, which means there's probably a little part of you that goes, I think he's talking to me. That little part, that little guilt that you may feel, is a good thing. Because you do know what that means? It means there is still some good soil left. It means you have heard the warning, and you have heard the word of God. And that means that it's not all rocks and thorns, and that God has not been entirely pushed out of your life. I don't judge where everybody is in the room. I think there's all four types of soil in this room. But here's the thing. We just got to the five-year point of our church today. What happens from here on out depends on you. Depends on how you want to bring the kingdom to light. Depends on what kind of impact you want. Depends on where you want your family at, where you what you want your marriage to be like, what you want your kids to grow up to be like. It's all up to you. This has always been your church, not mine. But if you feel that little bit of guilt, it means there's still a little bit of good soil left. And the thing I would encourage you to do, if you fully recognize today that you have drifted away from God, even a little bit, if you've drifted away from God and you've done some things to push yourself away and move down the bench, the thing I would tell you to do is to return to your first love. Return to that person you were when you first fell in love with God. Revelation 2, 4 through 5 says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Come back. Do the works you did at first. Look, half the battle is just showing up. If you just showed up and didn't neglect your time with God, God would do amazing things in your life. If even just a small percentage would break through, it would transform your life. It would change your marriage. It would change your family. It would change your heart. It would change your impact on this world. If you stopped neglecting your time in the Word and your time in prayer and your time of being a servant and it not being about you, but it actually being something bigger than you, you would slowly move over back underneath the arm of God and you would feel closer to Him than you have ever been. If you would begin to be more wise about the people that you hung out with and the people that you were with and the people that you spent your time and your energy and your money on, it would change because you would go from a toxic environment to a supportive environment. We have learning environments for you. We have a group of women getting together tomorrow night to pray and encourage one another and to be there for one another. They're going to become better because of it. We have that for you. We have community groups. We have discipleship groups. We have a group of people in this room who all are trying to make it the same as you. And then don't give in to temptation. Let go of your old life and the old ways that you used to live. You know, Jesus came for one reason. Jesus came so that we could be saved and we could repent of our ways. Honestly, I really don't believe that you can ask for forgiveness again and again and again and again and again when your heart's not really in it. To truly repent means to make a change, to make a 180-degree turn, to go the other direction. That's what it truly means to repent and to be forgiven. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Return to your first love. Come back. reignite, refocus, repurpose your life to what it was when you were on fire for Him. We're going to invite the band to come back up, and we're going to sing one last song together. And during this time, we're going to close in worship, and Pastor Carrie and I are going to be down here below the stage, available to pray for you. Because I know there's some situations right now where you're just feeling dead inside, where you know you have slipped away from God, where you know you are in a season of life because you have followed some bad advice. Pastor Josh and I were talking about it on the phone for like an hour and a half last week as I drove to Topeka after service. And he said, what do you feel like is going on right now? And I said, I feel like the lukewarm, the people who have always been kind of the edge, they're being tempted and they're being tried and they're being challenged by Satan. And stuff's becoming very, very real. And they're at that pivotal point in their life where they have to choose what they're going to do. That finally, there's been a time in their life where God and Satan are on each side and they're saying, it's time for you to pick a side. You have hidden this long enough. You have lied about this long enough. You have been in the dark about this long enough. You have had this hardness in your heart for so long. It is time for you to pick a side, and we're going to make you choose. So choose. I told Pastor Josh, I'm just praying that people choose, but I can't make the choice for them. Everybody's soil is different. But I think everybody in this room still has a little bit of good soil left. So I want to encourage you today. Return to your first love. Come back. Do the things that you did at first. Because He hasn't moved. You have. But He wants you back. And we want you back. And I want to see you make it. So don't follow my bad advice. Come home.